Well, it's been good to look into the Bible and see what God says about sharing the good news of His Son with others. And that's the theme of evangelism. I think in today's world especially, it's important we see those things from God's point of view. Otherwise, we'll just get a fearful point of view about evangelism, or perhaps a non-participant point of view. But to see it from the Lord's point of view, that's the way it is, that's the truth, and that's what will set us free. So some of the things that God's Word stressed in past weeks were that telling the news about Christ is the privilege and responsibility of every believer. We want to take that on as a call from God. And that's part of who we are. Privilege and responsibility of every believer. Evangelism, telling the news of Christ so somebody would receive Him, is also when you and I talk about our best loved one. That's another point to keep in our heart. It's great to talk about your loved ones. Great to talk about the Lord, your best loved ones. Can't say enough good things about Him. In one of the songs we sang, we said, I will not boast in gift, nor power, nor wisdom, but I will boast in Christ, or boast about the Lord. So we do that. And also a third point to keep in mind is that none of us are really that good at evangelism. None of us are really that good at evangelism. And just to check that out, you look at the pew beside yourself. If we were good at evangelism, there'd be two or three new believers sitting next to us on a regular basis. Okay? Mine are somewhere out in North Huntington. Okay? Ready to come in once I get to know them better and share the gospel with them. So none of us by ourselves are good at evangelism. God is good at doing that. And He calls you and I to join Him. And He equips us to be able to share the gospel of Christ with other people. And it's a wonderful calling in our life. You know, it's the dream of Christ. We see it in the passage that every believer is part of the harvest of people coming to know the Lord. That's part of Christ's dream for you. So we take it on. And this passage, Jesus has a concern for people to hear good news. The Bible says, when Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion on them, for they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And the passage is really fulfilled in our hearing this morning as Bob read it. Because whenever there's a crowd in worship, when Jesus looks at us, what's His gut response? God says He's filled with compassion. He has a caring heart to you. When He looks at crowds outside the church, even a bigger crowd than inside the church, what's He like? Filled with compassion. He's moved about what He sees. And He says, you know, they're harassed and helpless. And that's what we are without God. You and I are bullied by sin and by self. We get picked on every day by those things. And we're a part of the problem. And other people are experiencing that too. And Jesus sees that. And He says, I'm filled with compassion about that. You know, there's a true story about a man named Bernie Witherall, who was the Speaker of the House in the British House of Commons. That's similar to our Congress. And if you ever watch C-SPAN, they get together and have a rowdy meeting on a regular basis. The Speaker of the House in the British House of Commons doesn't do a lot of speaking. What he does is call on people who do speak. And when the crowd gets a little too raucous, he says, order, order. It's like an exciting annual meeting, you might say, that happens at the British House of Commons. And he was a very well-respected Speaker of the House, and he was interviewed one time and asked the question, what's one of your secrets about why your work is going so well and how you are able to do that with such great care and enthusiasm? And he said, you know, at all times I carry a thimble in my coat pocket. And that was given to me by my dad years ago, who was a tailor. Very simple man, fixed clothing for people and help people look nice and all that. And he said, my dad gave me the thimble, and he said, remember, son, that at all times and to every person you meet, treat them with respect, grace, and compassion. to every person you meet, treat them with respect, grace, and compassion. And that influenced him, and others noticed it. And for you and I, would occasionally you need a thimble in your pocket to remind you of God's truth. Better than a thimble in our pocket, we have Christ in our heart, who would show compassion to others and respect and grace because of Christ's great love for the people around you. There's a great song we sing occasionally, "Everyone Needs Compassion, a Love That's Never Failing." And especially those outside the church, just waiting, you know, is there compassion in this world and a love that's never failing? Christ would say yes. Interesting, in the four Gospels, the only time the word compassion is used is in reference to Jesus and when Jesus uses it to teach a story. It's a very special word. It's a very rare word. It's a holy word, you might say. And it's almost like God's telling us, you know, God has compassion and human beings don't normally have a lot of compassion without God coming into their hearts. So compassion is something real special. It's the strongest possible word for sympathetic love and action. And it means to be moved in your heart and your gut. Do you ever feel something for somebody so much that you feel in your gut for them? Perhaps when you're separated from them or when you see them at a distance, it means to get a lump in your throat. Jesus got a lump in his throat today in worship about you. He has compassion on the crowds. And he gets a bigger lump about people outside the church because it's a bigger crowd. And Jesus preaches the word compassion when he tells two great stories, prodigal son story and also story to Good Samaritan. Two of the greatest stories ever told. Jesus uses that word compassion. The prodigal son, the rebellious, sinful son who was sinful outwardly, he was far away from the father. And the Bible says, the father saw him in the distance. He was moved with compassion. And he ran after the one he loved. You can picture God doing that toward you today. Toward people you know. All around you. Not in church, but God runs toward them. And then, story of the prodigal son. Or Good Samaritan. Jesus said there was a conversation going on. An expert of law and him. And the expert of the law said, "Hey, who's my neighbor?" They're talking about loving your neighbor. And we ask that question a lot. Well, who is my neighbor? Seeking to justify ourselves. And so Jesus says, "Well, let me tell you a story. There's a man, he gets beat up. He's on the side of the road, half dead. Preacher guy walks by, doesn't help. Pastor guy walks by, doesn't help. Another man walks by, who doesn't even believe the right things. He looks and he has compassion on the guy who's half dead. And he goes and helps him. And then Jesus asked the question back to the man. He said, "Hey, which one do you think was the neighbor?" And the Lord asked us that. He really values compassion. And so he's asking us, who have you been compassionate to? Who have you been a neighbor to? And God can help us with that call. I've never been a good neighbor to anybody or really compassionate to anyone without having to have my heart really open to put aside my time and to really get involved. You know, and Jesus does that for us and he does that through us. What a great Savior he is. And so the compassion of Christ going out to the harvest. That's the way he saw the crowd. You know, when you see a person who doesn't believe in Christ, what's your first response? Is your first response, he's getting what he deserves? Or is your first response, I think the Lord can help him and make a big change in his life and give him the passion and purpose that he's looking for? A pastor tells a story about his brother playing in a college basketball game. He wasn't at the game, so he saw a videotape of the game. And during the game, his brother is dribbling down the court, headed toward the basketball hoop. He jumps up for a layup, and he gets his feet knocked out from under him, tumbles over, does a flip, bangs his back of his head on the floor, and he's out. His body is—he's unconscious and he's quivering a bit, and he's—you know—he gets to see this on tape, and he's very moved by it. So people come, medical people come, and they're helping his brother, and along with the circle of people around his brother are his parents, who happen to be at the game, and they look. And they look on the floor at their son, you know, hoping and with compassionate fervency to have health and to be able to get up. And the man said, boy, he never forgot the expression on his parents' face of compassion for somebody they loved. And that's Jesus' look toward people in your life that you know. You know, he's just looking at them and saying, I am moved by these folks. I have a lump in my throat about people who don't know me. And, of course, about his children. And the Lord tells us, you know, after he had compassion, he sees all the people and he says, there's a lot of people. So he says, pray because the harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of hurting people out there. Supposedly 80% of the people around you and I are beat up and half dead spiritually. You know, they're really big time need. And Jesus says this. He says, ask God to send laborers into the harvest field. And if we ever ask God that, you know, Lord, we know you have a lump in your throat this morning in church about us, about the people around us. We ask you to help them somehow, Lord. You know, reach out to them, do something good on their behalf. And God's going to ask us a question back. When we pray, he's going to say, well, who do I send? Who will go for us? And by the grace and compassion of Christ, you and I could say, really with fear and trembling and only looking at the Lord, we could say, here am I, send me, send me. The wonderful compassion of Christ. Some great Christian groups who dare to take on that name. Compassion and Mercy Associates. That's a Christian Missionary Alliance ministry group. Great ministry. Compassion International. They go and they help people. And it came from the heart of Christ towards us. Might you know that today. Might you pass it on to people around you. Might you receive it afresh in your life so you could share the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let us pray together as we prepare for communion. Thank you, Lord. There was a lump in your throat today during worship as you saw us as your children. And we're glad to be looked at that way by the grace of God. And so give us a heart of compassion for people around us, maybe even for ourselves, if we're just into rejecting ourselves for some reason. Father, we know by ourselves we have busy hearts, we have full hearts, we have sometimes hard hearts, but we want compassionate hearts, and it could be a gift from you to us. So help us be this way in order to tell the wonderful story, live the wonderful story of Jesus and his love. Just put people in our minds throughout this week that we could pray and reach out to. Might every person we see be somebody that we see as harassed and helpless without Christ and pass on good news to them. We pray for folks, Lord, who have physical problems, give him strength. Pray for Jim Stanley, for help and healing for him, for Fred Azevedo, bless him real good, for Peg Unterreiner, Father, give strength, for Norma Guyon, Kathy Bourne, and Marjorie Simpson to have better days ahead, for Chris Schneider, heading to Afghanistan soon, and all our troops. Father, we pray for the letters that go out from our church that tell people of Jesus and his love and use those to influence hearts. We pray for the Neighbor Day time Might it be a wonderful time between you and us and a time of faith and fellowship for us and neighbors. Give us a friendship with people we've yet to meet. And as we approach your table, hear our silent prayers, Lord. If we need to talk to you about sin, we want to do that. If we need to talk to you about blessings, we want to do that. So hear our silent prayers.